So the Gemara has a machlokes in Psachim. I guess every Gemara has a machlokes. But there's a interesting machlokes in the Gemara of Psachim between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua, how to celebrate the Yontif, how to celebrate Yontif in general. We know there's Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos at a Shalosh Regalim. And in general, we assume it's Samachta Bechagecha, that there's a mitzvah simcha on the Shalosh Regalim. In a further discussion, a mitzvah simcha, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, but let's stick to the Shalosh Regalim. So on the Shalosh Regalim, we know we have a mitzvah simcha. So usually the mitzvah simcha generally assumes basar v'yayin, at least bizman, when they had the karbanos. So today, actually, the Shulchan Aruch brings down that one should have wine at every meal. Meat might be preferable, but not mandatory, depending on which school of thought you go with. So there's a debate on how to celebrate. Everyone agrees to celebrate. The question is how you celebrate. So what's it based on? There seems to be an apparent contradiction in the psukim. One pasuk says, "Aseres l'Hashem Elokechem." Aseres meaning Yontif should be for God. Another pasuk says, "Aseres t'yelachem." Aseres, the Yontif should be for you. So which one is it? Is it for God or is it for me? So That's the debate between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Eliezer says, so it's up to us. You could choose. You could either choose Kulo Lashem or Kulo Lachem. In other words, you can choose all for God. Even if you choose all for God, the simple pshat is you still have to make Kiddush and have a meal. As I like to say, there's a big difference between our weekday meal and our Yontif meal. A weekday meal takes about 5 minutes. A Yontif meal could take 2-3 hours. So, in other words, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you could be Yotze with a quick Kiddush, have a quick meal, and move on and go back to learning or davening. But basically, you have, fundamentally, you could spend your day L'Hashem, davening and learning, and I guess it depends what you consider for God or not. Maybe better mechavero, but etc. So this that and Rabbi Yeshua says no. Chatzi l'Hashem, v'chatzi l'Hashem. We have two psukim, so it comes to tell me half for God and half for you. So in other words, the Rambam when he codifies it even gives us the Seder Hayom or Laila. He says, yeah, that's why we daven first, and then we come back. Or then we go from davening and then we eat our meal. We daven in the morning and then we eat our meal. You know, mincha in theory, then we eat our meal. So it's not just chatzi l'Hashem v'chatzi l'Hashem, but the Rambam goes through the whole day. But that's Rabbi Yeshua's opinion that you do both. You compromise. In fact, that's what Rabbi Yosef Engel points out, one of the great Achronim. He points out that we have in the davening when in the Rabbi Yishmael before the Mizmar Shir, it talks about the Yud Gimel Midos Nidreshes. We have the 13 principles that we learn out. Many of the dinim of Torah Shabbal Peh are learned out from the Yud Gimel Midos. So it's what we say it right before Mizmar Shir Chanukah Sabayis Godavid. So it's Rabbi Yishmael Omer, B'sholosh Yosei Midos HaTorah Nidreshet, and it goes through different kolim. And one of the kolim are, that let's say you have two psukim, HaMachishim Ze'ezeh. Let's say you have two psukim in the Torah that seems to contradict one another. So what do you do? What we say in davening, in the Rabbi Yishmael, so it tells us what to do. It's from from the Sifra. So it says, V'chein sheiktsuva machiz shem zeze ad sheyavo hakasuv hashlishi v'yachriya b'neim. If you have a apparent contradiction, you look for a third pasuk, and then the third pasuk obviously, works out the conflict. So okay, so that's very good. But so that's Rabbi Yishmael Omer. Comes along Rabbi Yosef Engel, who said, but what do you do when you don't have a third pasuk? Then what do you do? So he claims that's the debate here between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer. If I don't have a third pasuk, what do I do? So Rabbi Eliezer said, okay, if you don't have a third pasuk, you get to choose either Kulo Hashem or Kulo Lachem. And Rabbi Yeshua says, no, you don't get to choose. It means Chatzi Lachem v'Chatzi Lachem. So that's the Gemara, that how you celebrate Yontif. Either Kulo Hashem or Kulo Lachem. Rabbi Eliezer is more into the extremes. And Rabbi Yeshua goes with the basic compromises, half and half. So comes along the Gemara and says, this whole debate is only regarding the Yontif of Pesach and Sukkot. During Pesach and Sukkot, you have a debate between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua on what to do. But when it comes to Shavuos, HaKol Modim Deba'inin Lachem, all agree that you need lachem. All agree that you have to have a meal. Even according to Rabbi Eliezer, who says you could spend 99% of your time learning and 1% of your time eating, even he agrees by Shavuos, you got to have a significant meal. You know, whatever the percentages are, we'll leave to the individual. But it has to be a nice yontif meal, not just a kiddush. Eat your meal in 2 minutes and move on. So even Rabbi Eliezer agrees to Shavuos. So the question is, my taima. Why does Rabbi Eliezer agree to Rabbi? Why? What's so special about Shavuos that he agrees to it, but not to Pesach and Sukkot? So Gemara says, I'll tell you. Because it's Yom Shenitna Bo Torah. It was the day the Torah was given. And since the answer is a question, like, what do you mean? I would have thought the opposite. I would have said on the other two split the meal, but on Shavuos, you got the Torah. That's the day you should be learning. That's the day Rabbi Eliezer should say Kul Hashem. What is the Gemara talking about? Gemara, the fact it says Yom Shenitna Bo Torah, they're giving that as a reason why Rabbi Eliezer says you have to have a meal. The commentators are bothered. It's counterintuitive. I would have said the opposite. If it's the day the Torah was given, if you got to pick one day that you could learn all day, I would have picked Shavuos. And in fact, the Gemara goes on to explain, there are 3 days a year that you must have a meal besides Shavuos. It says Shabbos. Every Shabbos you have to have a meal. The Karasa Lo Shabbos Oneg, the pasuk from Yeshaya, and the pasuk in Megillas Esther by Purim. Yimei Mishta V'Simcha Ksiv. So the Gemara singles out Shavuos, Purim, and Shabbos. But we'll have to see what the common denominator is between those three. But focusing on Shavuos here, it says Yom Shenitna Bo Torah. So the question is, what do you mean Yom Shenitna Bo Torah? It should be the opposite. So the commentators explain, based on a Ramban in Parshas Mishpatim, by Bar Mitzvah Parsha. So at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, it says, see, Kabbalah Satorah is split up into two in the Chumash. It's in Yisro, and then we finish it in Mishpatim. So in Mishpatim, it says, Vayochlu Vayishtu, that what were the Jewish people doing at Har Sinai? Having one big party. They were eating and they were drinking. So some learned that as a fault. How dare you? In the middle of Kabbalah HaTorah, you go ahead and you're like partying. However, the Ramban says, no, it's a positive, not a negative. That what do we learn out from here? That just like the Jews were having a Yomei Mishta V'Simcha, they were eating and drinking at Har Sinai, or, you know, they weren't on ours, you know, they were Ida Matan Torah. So too, we learn a very important halacha, Mikan. From here we learn, anytime we have any accomplishment by Torah, we have to make a Sudas Hodah. We got to make a Siyam. That's the concept when we finish a certain tractai, we finish a certain amount of Gemara, or other parts, we make a Siyam. Why are we making it? And then a Siyam means, you know, we have food. We have either a whole meal, we have cake, we have l'chaims, or whatever people do at a Siyam. So we see from here that anytime you have any accomplishment by Torah, it's a time for a physical celebration. Obviously, besides finishing the Masechta, you have a Sudas Mitzvah, you have cake, you have other things, etc. So that's what the Ramban says. That no, it makes a lot of sense. Yom Shanin Bo Torah, because that's what happened at Matan Torah, and the Jews had a big feast. So that's what we learned now. Anytime you have any accomplishment by Torah, we have a big feast. And what's the pshat in the Machshavas? So what's the thought process behind that? That why specifically when we have a Matan Torah, or specifically when we have an accomplishment by Torah, we have to have a meal? Because the commentators explain it's because Judaism is different than many other religions. So in other religions, how do you define Kedusha? What's the highest level of sanctity? Someone who separates from this world. Someone, you go out to a monastery, you don't get married, you stay away from, they look at the different pleasures of the world as a negative, meaning, you know, it's a dispensation. For the average person, they got to get married, but ultimately, if you're really on that high madrega, then you go away and you stay away. In Judaism, it's the opposite. Everyone has an obligation to get married. Everyone has an obligation to be involved in the physical pleasures. In fact, the Yerushalmi writes that after 120 years, one of the many, won't be the only question, unfortunately, but there might be other questions, but one of the questions is, did you take advantage of all the permitted pleasures that God gave us? As a famous saying from Rav Shimsho Rafal Hirsch, he says, they're going to ask, I guess he wasn't far from the Swiss Alps. He said, they're going to come up and ask me, I live right there, did I go see the visit? Did I see the beauty of the Swiss Alps? So I cover myself. I've been to Niagara Falls, just in case it's one of the questions I get. I want to at least get one question I could say yes to. And in fact, I was even in Machmir a couple of summers ago. In fact, my last time I left Canada, a year and a half ago, almost 2 years, I went to the Italian Alps, so just in case, if Niagara doesn't cut it, I think Leslie did see Switzerland. She saw the Swiss Alps, I think. I only had to set off for the Italian Alps, and not as high, apparently. But they were still nice enough for me. I guess I'm doing it in the right order. If you're going to do it, you want to build it up where you have something to look forward to. So I'm waiting for my next trip. I don't think it's going to happen this summer, the way things are looking. I'm happy if it works out after Yenta. So nevertheless, we see that in Judaism, what is Kedusha? Kedusha doesn't mean abstaining from God created us. He knows we have a guf and a neshama. We have a physical body and we have a soul. And we got to keep both parts happy. A monkey is happy eating bananas all day. I don't know, I'm assuming, I don't know. But if a human, like, well, certainly if we only ate bananas, but even if we had beef ribs, rib steak, potatoes, even that, we wouldn't be happy if that's all we did. Because that it might satisfy our guf, but we feel empty. It's not satisfying our neshama. So in Judaism, you have a guf and a neshama. You can't ignore. If you ignore your spiritual side, you're not going to be fulfilled. And if you ignore your physical side, you'll be very frustrated and not fulfilled either. So Judaism's telling me, in contrast to other religions, that if you want to know what Kedusha is, you want to know what the Torah is Chayim. It's not some hypothetical book, you know, you leave on the bookshelf and, you know, you get you read it once in a while, and it's a Torah Chayim. It's a way of life. It's not just a history book. It tells you how to, it's daily living. I don't mean just the Torah Shabbat Peh. The Torah Shabbat Peh, which explains the Torah Shabbat Sav. So therefore they point out that that's the concept of the Torah. In fact, that's why we know that we just finished Sefer Vayikra this past Shabbos, and we're beginning Sefer Bamidbar. And at the end of the Sefer, we say, Chazak, Chazak, V'nis Chazek. Be strong, let us be strengthened. Something along those lines. Why are we saying Chazak, Chazak? So it's the Ramah quotes the Minig, so the Gemara, it's based on a Gemara in Brachas, which tells us that there are three things that always, everything in life requires chizuk, strength, but especially three things require chizuk: Torah, tefillah, and parnasa. So Torah, we see, what do we do every Shabbos? Let's say we finish Sefer Vayikra, we have Shabbos, and what do we do at Mincha? We begin by Midbar. This Shabbos, we're going to read by Midbar. At Mincha, we move on to Naso. Torah, Sricha, Chizuk, like on Simchas Torah. We finish the book of Devarim, and we start Bereishis on Simchas Torah. And that's what Rav Soloveitchik explained on Yom Kippur. At Shacharit, we read from Acharei Mos, and we continue at Mincha at Acharei Mos. So we see Torah, Sricha, Chizuk. Where do we see by Tfila? So Rav Soloveitchik said, we see the old minhag was that they said Adon Olam in the morning. I mean, and they did it like one person made the brachas on the talis, like we do for the Birchas HaShachar. They did on everything. Either only one person knew how to do it, or everyone came at the same time. Whatever the case might have been, that's when it happened. So they point out that, so we start the morning of davening with Adon Olam, and Friday night the old minhag was to say Adon Olam. In order to say, we begin with Adon Olam, and we end with, Avram represents Tfilah. He was the first one to institute Shacharis. So therefore, we begin with Shacharis, and then we need Chizuk. So therefore, at Myra, Friday night, we say Adon Olam at the end of davening. That's why Rav Soloveitchik was against the minhag of saying Yigdal. Some people don't say Adon Olam Friday night. They say Yigdal. See, the Arizal was against Yigdal. The question is why. So the two schools, there's probably more, but there are two schools of thoughts. One is from Rav David Cohen. He says the reason why the Arizal was against Yigdal, not because Yigdal is, it's a poetry about, it's summarizing the Rambam's 13 Ikari Amuna, which is a beautiful thing. So why would anyone be against Yigdal? So Rav David Cohen says there's nothing about what it says in the Yigdal. It's who composed the Yigdal. The person's name is Emmanuel of Rome, who I think the Shulchan Aruch quotes him once, and not for praise. He says, make sure you don't learn his books on Shabbos, and in fact, don't learn them ever. He basically makes fun of Torah scholars, and etc. So, according to Rav David Cohen, that's why we're against Yigdal. People say Yigdal was written before Emmanuel of Rome was even around. So he says, yeah, I know that, but he touched it up. So the way we have it today is based on, I guess if you go back to the old way, that maybe he wouldn't be against it. But that's one reason we're against Yigdal. For those, again, most shuls do Yigdal, but for those who follow the opinion of the Arizal, and Rav Soloveitchik had a different reason. He said, because of Chukas HaGoyim, that we're following, it's the ways of the Goyim. What do you mean? Because if you go to church, so part of prayer is that they incorporate their Ikari Amuna in their service every day. And they talk about whatever, their belief in what they believe in. So we don't. We have beliefs, but it's not a Jewish practice to reiterate them during davening. So the Rav Soloveitchik said, so why did Yigdal come about? And well, we're copying the Goyim, because Yigdal basically is doing, that's what he was against. In fact, that's what he was against besides other reasons, mixed seating. He says mixed seating is also chukas agayim. That was the original Christians. The only way you could tell the difference between it's when their prayer looked almost like our prayer. The only way you could tell if it was a Jewish prayer or not is whether it was separate seating or not. So either way, so he holds it. Either way, but why tefillah needs chizah? Because we begin with Adon Olam, and we end with Adon Olam. And parnasa, as we all know, we always need chizah. The tzar of making a parnasa, the worries. That's what we even said in Birchas Hachodesh, Chayim Shel Parnasa. And in fact, as the Satmar Rebbe is famous of saying, many people are into segulas for many things. But he says there's a special segula for Parnassa. So some people say it every day. Some say it the Tuesday of Parshas Peshalach when we read about the man, because it's called Parshas Haman. So he says, if you want to do the segulas, I'm not saying yes or no, but I am going to tell you, if you do the segulas, don't do them between 9 and 5. The best segula for Parnassa is getting a job, not sitting there doing segulas all day. So Parnassa, we all know, these are Torah and Tefillah and Parnassa, Tzricha Chizuk. So we know that's why we're in Chazak, V'nis Chazek, because Torah requires Chizuk. And that's why as we come into the Yontov of Shavuos, which is clearly the Yontov of Kabbalah HaTorah, and even Rabbi Elezer, who agrees that during other Yom Tovim, Kul Hashem or Kul Lachem, even he agrees, Akol Be'inan Lachem. Why? Because Yom Shadin Nabo Torah. I might think that's a day where you should just learn all day. So the Torah is, so Chazal telling us no. Because in Judaism, learning Torah just doesn't mean learning Torah. It's a way, it's Seulam on go out. You have to incorporate the reality. So that was the mistake of the Dor HaMidbar. That's how the Arizal writes, that they gave a false report or a bad report about the land of Israel, because not intentionally they were no gay bedavar, that they thought the highest level is what? To live in the Midbar, have God supporting us, man min hashamayim. And they knew when they went into Eretz Yisrael, you're going to have to work for a living. And they thought that the man min hashamayim was a higher level. But the Chidush Harim points out, no, we see they were rebuked. The higher level is working for a living, going into Eretz Yisrael, working the land, and as you know, in the next world, so that's when we get Man Min HaShamayim. But in this world, in Olam HaZeh, we got to work for a living, we got to work for our Torah. That's why we say, in Bichokosai Teilechu, it's Amelot Batorah, and that's the Yisod of the Yontov of Shavuos, is that it's to Torah Sricha Chizuk. So it's that, and when we say Yom Shadin Abo Torah, it's not just a day of learning Torah, but it's a day of living in the Torah. And also, this, by the way, it's my uncle's yortzeit tonight. So we're learning Zecher Nishmas Eliezer Tzvi Ben Avram.